Welcome to Taiwan Brief, a deeper dive into issues impacting Taiwan. Broadcasting to you from Taichung, Taiwan, I'm Donovan Smith. Before we get started, I provided a bit of an update and some news in the last podcast recorded on Nicaragua cutting ties, but this might reach you first. I hope you listen to that show. It's a fuller explanation, but in short, I've been commissioned to write whatever I want as a contributing columnist for the Taiwan News 12 times a month. This means I will produce a general public-oriented article 2 to 3 times a week and expand on that topic for you guys, which of course, you guys are a far more knowledgeable audience than the general public. I'll be reading from the article in chunks, then adding details more appropriate for you guys throughout to add depth and nuance that couldn't be included in the articles. This also means a lot more shows, by the way. I've been quiet the last few weeks preparing for this, so I've cleared the decks and I'm very excited about this. Today's episode won't be as meticulously edited and refined sound-wise by Sean as usual to ensure quick turnaround. So please be patient with my verbal quirks and missteps that he does such a great job of editing out to make me sound smart. All right, starting from the article, which this time is also entitled Referendums Steeped in Irony on Taiwan News, which, by the way, in future will have a quick way for you to access on report.tw. I won't always be using the same name for the podcast as the articles, and didn't with the Nicaragua show, but in this case I did. Okay, for the article. Since the early 1990s, there has been one clear distinction between the Chinese Nationalist Party, or KMT, and the Democratic Progressive Party, or DPP. The KMT views Taiwan as part of China, and the DPP doesn't. While the details may change, in the main, this distinction is held firm. When it comes to domestic politics, however, irony reigns. The DPP has long championed referendums as an expression of the people's will. Swept into power in 2016 with both the presidency and for the first time with a legislative majority to back it, they set about lowering the thresholds required for referendums to both be put on the ballot and to pass. Previously, the bar had been set so high, referendums had never come close to passing. But in 2017, the DPP passed legislation making it quite easy to get on the ballot and reducing the threshold to pass to 25% of the electorate voting yes, with the yes vote outnumbering the no vote. To add to this, frankly, the bar is way too low on both this and the recall elections, and both are creating political turmoil that isn't particularly democratic and is causing considerable distraction from the job of running the country. In both cases, the opposition is incentivized to use these rules to cause headaches for whichever party is in power, sucking away resources, time, and energy. Okay, back to the article. This backfired spectacularly on the DPP in 2018. Unsurprisingly, though curiously, the DPP apparently didn't foresee this, the referendums proposed were directly in opposition to the policies and plans of the government, then led by their own party. This presented an opportunity for the KMT to discredit the DPP administration, and they eagerly jumped on board to support those referendums. Simultaneously, the KMT happened to be buoyed by the hand wave of support sweeping the country, energized by a bolt out of the blue, charismatic, if unusual and erratic, KMT candidate Daniel Han Guoyu, which, by the way, some listeners may remember as Dan Han the Cabbage Man, if you've been around for a while, who is improbably running to win the mayorship of the DPP stronghold of Kaohsiung. Come election day, not only did Han and most of the KMT sweep the local elections, most of the referendum items also won, delivering a public rebuke to the DPP plans on, among other things, nuclear power and same-sex marriage. Okay, jumping in here. It's actually problematic they even allowed the same-sex marriage referendums to occur, considering the issue had already been decided in the Constitutional Court and had already ordered the Legislative Yuan to come up with legislation legalizing it. So I don't really see why they approved it. Okay, Back to the article. Chastened by this loss and now clearly aware of how referendums will naturally be geared toward opposition to whichever government happens to be in power and potentially used by voters to register general discontent regardless of the issue, the DPP faced a quandary. Raising the now low threshold that they themselves enacted, wouldn't have looked good. As a result, they passed legislation decoupling referendums from general elections, moving referendum votes to off years in the month of August. This was proposed by the DPP under the rationale that the long lines and delays caused by combining the referendums with the general election was confusing to voters and logistically complicated. Critics suggested that by moving it to the hottest, most humid month of the year, with no other reason to go out and vote, this was intended to reduce voter turnout, effectively raising the threshold without having to go back on their original legislation. This year, the pandemic caused the referendum to be delayed to December 18th. Okay, so while in the article I used critics as a stand-in, the fact of the matter is that the DPP boxed themselves into a corner on this. And while it is true that the referendums did cause long lines and delays in 2018, moving it to August was pretty blatantly a move to blunt turnout. Okay, back to our regular programming. The four referendum items on the agenda this year are also full of irony. The first, R17, proposes to restart construction on the fourth nuclear power plant. Originally planned under the KMT and opposed by the DPP, the project was reaffirmed under the DPP government of President Chen Shui-bian. In spite of being nearly complete, faced with political opposition, significant delays, cost overruns, and a long list of safety concerns, the project was mothballed by KMT President Ma Ying-jeou. Incoming President Tsai Ing-wen agreed with that assessment and reverted to the early stance of the DPP for a nuclear-free homeland. The KMT, in spite of their own administration, having made the decision to shut it down, is now fully behind the project and encouraging the public to vote yes. Okay, some listeners may recall that Chen was in a bit of a quandary on this, as his party in the base was against the fourth nuke, but pressures from the development state and businesses to keep the power on as the economy grew, and the need to impress on the public the concept, back then not widely accepted, that the DPP could be trusted with the economy meant that Chen backed down and continued the project. Now, as for the long list of safety concerns, there are so many it could fill an entire show on its own. Well, personally, I'm not against nuclear power per se. In Taiwan, there are some huge problems with it. The first is that Taiwan is a terrible location for it, being seismically active and densely populated. The second, and perhaps even more important, is Taipower's absolutely awful record at managing pretty much anything, almost on a Simpsons level of awful. Okay, back to regular programming. The second, R18, aims to overturn President Tsai's decision to allow the importation of U.S. pork containing the additive ractopamine. This referendum was proposed by KMT lawmaker Lin Wei-zhou and is solidly backed by the party. During the Ma administration, in order to boost ties with the United States, Ma had successfully allowed the importation of beef containing ractopamine. His attempt to allow pork with the additive, which the U.S. has long seen as a sticking point in trade talks, was eventually abandoned in the face of public pressure over food safety concerns and opposition led by then-DPP chair Tsai Ing-wen. Okay, let me jump in and note that this issue has been discussed at length in previous shows, so you might want to check those out if you're interested in the subject. R19, proposed by then-KMT chair and lawmaker Johnny Jiang, or Jiang Jicheng, aims to re-tie referendum votes to general elections. This has been enthusiastically taken up by current chair Eric Chu, or Zhu Liluan, putting the KMT in the historically odd position of defending the DPP's old position on referendum timing. It also appears that the current KMT has missed the lesson that if they ever return to power, the opposition will use this against them in precisely the same way as they are using the referendums against the Tsai administration. Either that, or they are assuming they will be on permanent opposition, which on current trends on national identity being at sharp odds with the KMT ideology is possible without a significant change of course. The final referendum, proposed by an environmentalist, calls for a halt to plans to build a natural gas terminal off the coast of Taoyuan to protect fragile algal reefs. The government responded by coming out with a plan to move the terminal farther out to sea and more away from the reefs, and is enlisting other environmentalists to its side, pointing out the natural gas is a necessary transition fuel to end Taiwan's dependence on coal while transitioning to renewable power. This pits the KMT and DPP against each other as to which is the more environmental party. This has created some internal complications in the KMT, as much of their support in central Taiwan has come from efforts by local KMT leaders to shut down the coal-fired units at the massive Taichung power plant that is the largest stationary source of air pollution in the country and one of the largest in the world. So the loss of the gas terminal would not only ensure that central Taiwan's air would continue to be polluted by the existing coal-fired units, some already shut down units might possibly have to be restarted. Now, turnout will be the first hurdle determining if the referendums pass. This being the first off-season referendum vote under the new rules, there aren't direct precedents to look at to come to a good estimate as to how turnout may play out. One potential proxy precedent is the also standalone recall votes, which have ranged from the low 40s to low 50s. Polling suggests a turnout in the 50s, but the recall vote turnouts and the difficulties many voters face in returning to their home districts to vote would suggest a turnout in the 40s is more likely. If the turnout is in the low 40s, that will put a high bar on any referendum passing. If, on the other hand, it is in the high 50s, then there is a significant chance of one or more making the cut. Okay, listeners. On this, I suspect the voter turnout will be in the mid to upper 40s, possibly the low 50s at highest, in spite of the polls suggesting a higher turnout. The Froze over at Frozen Garlic has come to a similar conclusion, which is always a good sign. I strongly recommend listeners check out his excellent coverage of the referendum campaigns, all of which I've linked to on report.tw under Must Read. Now, polling shows strong support for a yes vote on not allowing ractopamine pork into the country, which is unsurprising considering the history of food safety scandals in the country. On the algal reef vote, it looks close, but leaning towards a no vote. The other two could easily go either way, with much depending on how well the major parties have made their case in the last couple of weeks and the effectiveness of their get-out-the-vote efforts. The only scenario either party could legitimately claim victory is if the turnout is high enough for a strong mandate, and all of the votes go their way in a clean sweep. If that doesn't happen, which is very possible, then the question is not which party will take the damage, but which party will take the most damage. The picture is a bit cleaner on the DPP side. If the turnout threshold isn't passed, they will have dodged the bullet. But that will underscore a lack of enthusiasm on their side for their agenda. If, on the other hand, the turnout is high and the public backs the KMT's call to vote yes on all four, then they will be in the awkward position of either having to continue to back their plans in opposition to public vote, which, by the way, they did after the 2018 referendums, or back the public's call and totally upend their agenda and betray their base, especially on the nuclear-free homeland and transition to renewable energy. If, as looks very possible, it is a mixed vote with the restarting of the fourth nuclear power plant endorsed by voters, the damage will come from them having to either ignore or slow walk restarting the plant. At this point, with the fuel rods already sent back out of the country and restarting the plant expected to take a decade or more, it is unlikely the plant will ever be revived, especially over local government opposition in New Taipei City. The KMT is probably more at risk for taking damage than the DPP. The KMT brass has thrown itself full in on getting a yes vote on all four, Even if, in the best case scenario, they accomplish that, they've already caused rifts within the party. The most popular figure in the party by a wide margin, New Taipei Mayor Hoyoi, has openly bucked the party line and on Facebook issued a call for voters to make up their own minds based on the facts. He himself in the past has expressed opposition to the fourth nuclear plant, which would be based in the city he represents, but has also expressed some opposition to ractopamine pork. The party's stance has also created a political trap for Taichung Mayor Liu Xiaoyan. She has made a name for herself and staked her reputation on being a fearless fighter for improving air quality in Taichung. If the Algal Reef referendum passes, at the very least, plans to phase out coal-fired units at the Taichung power plant will be halted, and it is very likely already idle units will need to be reactivated to send power up north. This would be disastrous for her politically. Publicly, she has endorsed the party line, but significantly, she has refused to join any rallies in support, even in her own city. That means that even if the KMT scores a clean sweep victory, Chair Eric Chu and the KMT party unity look weak. In spite of being by far the biggest heavyweight to run and the clear front runner, Zhu won the KMT chair race with less than 50% of the vote after a surprise surge by Deep Blue candidate Jiang Yazhong. Starting week, the defection of Ho and the partial defection of Liu and others is threatening to undermine his authority. Should the result turn out mixed, he will look weak and ineffectual. And if the result goes largely against the party, he will face calls to resign. If that happens and he doesn't resign, he will have trouble asserting authority over an already fractured and disunified party, which could spell trouble in next year's local elections. If he does resign, this opens up the possibility that the Deep Blue Zhang would be the front runner to replace him, which would put the party so far out of the mainstream of public opinion, they will face even greater challenges at the polls. Okay, let me add a few comments here for listeners. For the DPP, I don't see the referendums having any significant impact on the party in next year's local elections. Most voters will have forgotten about it by then. However, on the KMT side, that potential instability inside the party could have serious repercussions. Frankly, the question isn't if the KMT has ended up shooting itself in the foot. It's whether they've shot themselves in one or both feet, and what is the caliber of the gun. All right, that's it for today's program. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to hit like and subscribe, and that little wee bell over there on YouTube, be sure to hit that so you get notifications. And now that there's going to be a lot of shows coming out, there's going to be a lot of work on our side. So definitely, if you can give us a little bit of support, that'd be very appreciated. Support us as a patron on patreon.com/Taiwan Report. The Nicaragua show will be coming out either just before or just after this. And there's going to be a lot more shows coming up soon. So look forward to those. And you'll be hearing from me again soon.
This has been brought to you by the Taiwan Report. For more content like this, become our patron at report.tw.
哎呦，就是那个台湾狗啦，最喜欢我的台湾狗了。